Hi, I will say good morning. Let's begin. So first of all, share today is sponsored by Helen Vicky King in memory of Hal's mother, Shirley Fuchs, Chava Osnas Bas Pitzalo. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah and Shem will have an aliyah.
Amen.
All right, so we begin. So we'll say we begin this morning on the last line. Today's Daf is Chav Vav 26, but we're going to begin last line of Chav Hei Amud Beis, the Mishnah. The Mishnah says the fine. Bechor Shenaf Alabar. It's a very interesting case. If you have a Bechor, Bechor is a firstborn animal, and as we know, the firstborn animal has Kedusha, has sanctity. So what happens if Halacha Lemaisa, your Bechor animal, falls into a pit on Yom Tov? So Rashi points out over here, Bechor Shenaf Alabar, Bechor Bezman Azeh, Ein Nishchat Belo Mum. So this is interesting. You know, Bechor Behema, your firstborn animal, still retains Kedusha to this very day. It's very interesting. Just as an aside, it's interesting to see. And the halacha is, it's the property of the kohen. The only time it becomes the property of the owner, should it develop a mum. And it has to be a mum that occurs on its own. Meaning if the owner of the animal intentionally causes a mum, then that would not allow the animal to transfer into the ownership of the non-kohen, of the Yisrael. So it's actually interesting today what they do for Bechor Behema. So let's say you're a Jewish rancher, you have this issue of Bechor Behema. So one of the interesting halachic mechanisms that's done is often the pregnant mother is sold to a non-Jew. Because the halacha of Bechor Behema is only true if the Jew owns the animal at the time that it's born. But technically speaking, if a non-Jew owns the animal at the time that it's born, l'maisa, there's no din of Bechor Behema. So now we're not going to get into halacha l'maisa of this, but just to understand how this could technically be relevant even today. So you have a firstborn animal that has Kiddusha. Oh, we're really not. This is. Marush, good morning, Mayan. How are you? Marush, this is a new diaper. Sorry, you see what you're starting with. Spanish. All right. And then we have to expand the menu. Yes. So the Mishnah says the following. So if you have a firstborn animal that falls into a pit on Yom Tov, so Rabbi Huda says, Yerid Mumchem Mira. So we'll say, here's the issue. The issue is, can you raise it out of the pit or not? Because it's an issue of Muktzah. If the animal still remains unblemished, so then Lemaisa, again, the animal is Muktzah. If the animal is Muktzah, serves no Yom Tov purpose, you can't raise it out of the bar. On the other hand, if the animal is now sufficiently blemished to the point that it's lost its sanctity, it is fit for Yom Tov, and therefore you can raise it out of the bar. Therefore, the Mishnah says, "B'chor be'im shenaf alabar." And Huda Rehuda says, "Yerid mumchavira." An expert needs to go down into the pit. Rashi says, "What does it mean an expert?" Baki b'mumin, somebody who's an expert in terms of blemishes on an animal. Lahavchin bein mum kavua l'mum omer, who could go ahead and distinguish between a mum kavua. Mum kavua means an established mum, on a mum that is not going to go away, versus a mum over. A mum over means a blemish that's there, but that will go away. So a mum over obviously does not disqualify Bechor Behema, but a mum kavua will. Top of chavav, im yesh ba mum, if the animal has a mum, and it's what we call a mum kavua, an established mum. The mum is not going to go away, therefore the animal has lost its Bechor Kiddusha. Then ya'ala v'yishchot, and you could raise up the animal and you could shecht it. V'imlav, but if the baki goes down, and remember, we'll say the idea of a mum has to be decided by experts, meaning the owner of the animal cannot make that call himself for obvious reasons, because he's got a financial interest in ensuring that the animal, in fact, does have a mum kavua. Therefore, it's got to be examined by an independent mum expert. I'm sorry?
Not a kohen,
probably. It could be, right, not a kohen either, correct. You'd want somebody independent. So if it doesn't have a mum, v'imlav lo yishchot. If it does not have a mum, therefore, again, it still has its Bechor Kiddusha. It says it's Bechor Kiddusha. Therefore, again, you can't raise it out of the pit because effectively it is Muktzah. Rabbi Shimon says, kol she'ein mumo nikr mi ba'od yom, ein zemin amucham. Rabbi Shimon says, if the mum was not there prior to Yom Tov, then lemaisa, again, the animal is not considered to be prepared, and therefore lemaisa, it's muksa. Now look at Rashi. Rashi says the following: ein zemin amucham, lav mishum muksa. I should say differently: lav mishum muksa asrale. So also, Rabbi Shimon is not saying that you can't take the animal out because it's muksa. To halesle muksa. So we'll say, remember, this is actually very interesting because we have a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon by Muktzah. Rabbi Yehuda usually is more machmir, and Rabbi Shimon is usually mekel. That's usually the way that it works. So Rashi is just pointing out over here. Here, Rabbi Shimon seems to be machmir, and Rabbi Huda is mekel, because Rabbi Huda says you can examine the animal on Yom Tov. You look, does the animal have a mum? Does the animal not have a mum? And if it does have a mum, you can raise it up because it's usable. If it doesn't have a mum, then it's hislas kedushas pachor, you have to leave it in the pit. Rabbi Shimon says, again, if the mum was not there on Erev Yom Tov, the animal is muktza regardless, independent of the actual status of the mum. What's the logic behind that? So Rashi says over here, Lam Mishum Mukta. Rabbi Shimon's position has nothing to do with Mukta. They're Asrulay, the Halesli Mukta. Because remember, Rabbi Shimon, what it literally means, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of Mukta. What that actually means is Rabbi Shimon, of course, holds of Mukta. Rather, what it means is that Rabbi Shimon takes a more permissive view of Mukta. Rather, El Lefisha Matira Biyamtov, Nira Kimitakno. So it's very interesting. Rabbi Shimon says that we don't examine mumin on yantif. We don't examine mumin on yantif. Why? Because the Gemara says this is in general, we try not to engage in issues regarding rendering decisions, legal decisions on Yom Tov. This is leaving aside halachic decisions that have immediate ramifications under Yom Tov, but in general, more involved halachic decisions or more involved legal decisions, we do not get involved with on Yom Tov. The reason for that is, Rashi says, because of Shavus. Shavus means it's the Dirabanan. The Dirabanan issue is that this is one of the things that falls under the umbrella of activities that may lead to writing. Because legal decisions are often written down, and because it has the appearance of fixing something, therefore we avoid these kind of legal decisions on Yom Tov itself. So according to Rabbi Shimon, if the mum was not there in Erev Yom Tov, we don't do anything with the animal on Yom Tov itself. Says the Gemara, B'maikam Miflagi. What are Rabbi Hud and Rabbi Shimon arguing about? If you want to say they're arguing about whether or not you are permitted to go ahead and examine a mum on a Bechor Behema on Yom Tov, if that's what they're arguing about, then Rabbi Huda Savar Roen Mumin Yom Tov, Rabbi Shimon Savar Ein Roen Mumin Yom Tov, because Rabbi Huda holds we will examine an animal on Yom Tov, and Rabbi Shimon holds that we don't. So V'liflagu B'Roen Mumin Da'amo. So then just have a regular Mishnah that talks about the Machlokes, meaning just state this Machlokes in a regular situation, in a regular way. Rabbi Yehuda says you can look at Mumin on Yom Tov. Rabbi Shimon says you may not look at Mumin on Yom Tov. Bechor Shana, so but why do I need this complicated case of a Bechor animal that falls into a pit? Because the reality is the falling into the pit has really nothing to do with this. This is an issue of whether or not you could examine a Bechor animal for blemishes on Yom Tov, to which the Gemara says no. Bechor Shana for the bar, it's Trichalim. I'll tell you why I need this case of the Bechor animal that falls into the pit. Saka Daitcha Amina Mishum Tsar Bali Chaim La'arim Beliske Kidrav Yoshua. I might have thought that because there is a potential tsar bali chayim issue over here, right? The animal may be suffering by being there in the pit. I might have thought that we can go ahead and do whatever we need to do to avoid the tsar bali chayim. And it also, literally, la'arim means to employ some level of subterfuge, to employ even some type of shady type of or iffy type of behavior in order to avoid tsar bali chayim, like Rabbi Yoshua. And we'll say, now what is this referring to? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Larin, Lomar Vada Yimatse Bomum, that perhaps I should be able to go ahead and pull it out of the pit. Because I could say, oh, I'll definitely find some kind of mum and bring it out like Rabbi Yoshua. And I will say Rabbi Yoshua is not commenting on this case. Rabbi Yoshua is actually quoted later on. If you look at Rashi, Eliskek Rabbi Yoshua, Dara Beperek Mashil, and Rabbi Yoshua says later on, Oso the Espinoshan of Lulabar. Ma'ale asarishon amanas lishchot ve'ino shochet v'chozer ma'ale asasheni ratzah zeh shochet ratzah zeh shochet. So also we'll see later on that if you have a client situation, a mother and a child, animals, both fall into a pit. Now here's one thing that is clear, not b'chor, regular case. So the halacha is you are not permitted to go ahead and shecht a mother and its child on the same day, which means that technically speaking, both of those animals are not usable for your Yom Tov purposes. But Rabbi Yeshua gives a very interesting etza. Rabbi Yeshua says you pull out the first one with the intention, well, I'm going to shech this one. And then after you pull it out, you say, what do you say? No, I don't want this one. I want the other one. And then you pull out the other one. And you, and then again, once you pull that, then you have the right to go ahead and shech whichever one you want. But obviously, it's employing a little bit of a pretext in order to go ahead and get out both animals. So and Rabbi Yeshua seems to allow that because of the issue of Tzar Bali Chaim. So I might have thought that that should be the same halacha over here by Bechar Behema. By Bechar Behema, that I should be able to go ahead and pull it out under the assumption that I'm sure it will have some kind of legitimate mum that will render it unfit for Bechar Behema, therefore make it usable for Yom Tov. Kamash Malon, that we do not say that. Kamash Malon, that we still have the same machlokis to Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Shimon. And the only machlokis is whether or not you could go down into the pit and actually look at the mumen. Rabbi Huda holds, you go into the pit, you send down the mumcha, and you look at the mumen. If it has a legitimate mum, a mum kavu, an established mum, it's lost its bechor sanctity, you can hoist it out of the pit. But if not, you leave it in the pit. And Rabbi Shimon holds, no, we don't even look at mumen on Yom Tov. Rabbi will say, the Ritva comments that the fundamental dispute between those two cases, between the case of Rabbi Yeshua and the case of Bechor Behema, is that in the case of Rabbi Yeshua, both animals are technically fit for Yom Tov use. Right? It's just an issue that I can't have both of them, but each one individually is fit for Yom Tov use. In this case of the Bechor Behema, it may not be fit for Yom Tov use at well. So the only time Rabbi Yeshua really sanctions the use of Harama is when the animal that you're going to, which the animal itself is technically fit for use. In this case over here, to allow for the hoisting up of the animal before you know, we should just watch her. Before you know, because it's full, before you know if it's blemished or not. So that ultimately, again, is too much harama. That's too much trickery. That's too much subterfuge that we're not going to allow. Okay. Iyachi, lo yishchot, lo ya'alev yishchot mibay. If that's the case, then why does the Mishnah, the Rebbe said the Mishnah, when it phrases the machlokes, only phrases it in terms of the fact that you can't shecht? But the truth is, really, what the Mishnah should say is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, under certain circumstances, ya'ale v'yishchot, v'imlav, lo ya'ale v'yishchot. And Rabbi Shimon should use the same lashon as well, to which the Gemara says, i'achi lo yishchot, lo ya'ale v'yishchot, m'boyle, lo tzricha, da'avid, da'avar v'aske. So also, is the interesting point the Mishnah makes. So the Mishnah deals with the following situation. What happens if you went ahead and you brought it up anyway? Look at Rashi. Lo tzicha da'ar va'aske, umash mu'usa delo laske mireisha, shema mina diktani yere tamum chavira, velo katani ya'ale v'yere, v'hadar ashma innach risi, di'ar va'aske velo matza ba'mum lo yishchot. So we'll say it's very interesting. So if you look at the Mishnah for just a moment, what the Gemara is picking up on is the following. In Rabbi Yehuda's statement in the Mishnah, the two statements are not symmetrical. So, right, the Mishnah begins with the case of Bechor that falls into a pit. So Rabbi Yehuda says, what should happen? Yered mum chavira. We send the expert down, examine the animal. Does the animal have a mum or not? So there are two cases. Case number one, im yesh bo mum. If the animal has a mum, fine. What's that halacha? Ya'le v'yishchot. We braise the animal up and we shecht it, because at this point in time, once the animal has a mum kavu, an established mum, the animal is fit for mundane use, and therefore you could use it on Yom Tov. But yet, if you look at the second case, he says v'imlav. Imlav means what? If it doesn't have a mum, or it doesn't have a mum kavua, lo yishchot, you shouldn't shecht it. So the Gemara says the lashon is not symmetrical. What should the lashon have said? V'imlav lo ya'alev yishchot. You may not raise it up and shecht it. So the Gemara says, you know what we're talking about over here? Da'avar va'aske. We're talking about a case where even though it does not have a mum, if you went ahead and brought it up anyway, you may still not shecht it. So if you brought it up anyway, so you still may not shecht it. So the Gemara says, Sakadai tchamino l'shachte. I might have thought that, look, remember I was like, this whole thing really to a certain degree is a derabanan. So I might have thought, all right, I wasn't allowed to bring it up. But once I did bring it up, then maybe I should be able to go ahead and shecht it. Kamashmulan, I can't. Skimar says, l'shachte, how can you shecht it? Hatamu, remember, that's the case of where the animal doesn't have a mum. So how can you, or the animal doesn't have a mum kavua. So how can you tell me that? Meaning the Gemara's logic seemed to be you're not allowed to hoist it up, but if you hoisted it up, you could shecht it. You can't shecht it. You can't shecht nothing to do with Yom Tov. You can't shecht it because, again, it's a Bechar Behema. It's a Bechar Behema. To which the Gemara says, Hatamu, lo tzricha dinafal be muma. Oh, what's the case? The case is where now I will say what happened. It's very interesting. Now, once I hoisted it up, so what happened? Now it got a mum. Not from the hoisting. But let's say now what happens? I raise it up from the pit. It's a little disoriented. It runs into a tree. You know, whatever it is, and it splits its lip or it splits its eye. Whatever, it causes a mum once it's up. Now look at Rashi. Rashi says over here. Dinafa be muma hashta v'hachi kamar imish b'mum hakavua me'erav yom tov ya'ale v'yishchot. So we'll say again, actually before we get to Rashi, so what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the following, that if you have the following case, the animal had a mum, you illegally hoisted it out of the pit, and now the animal developed a mum, you still can't go ahead and eat the animal. So the Gemara says, v'hamuktzahu. But again, the Gemara says, of course you can't eat the animal. Why can't you eat the animal, Rabbi Osai? Because remember, if the animal is unblemished at the beginning of Yom Tov, then that status is locked in. Once that status is locked in, that status doesn't change over the course of Yom Tov. So it doesn't really matter if the animal is unblemished at the start of Yom Tov. If the animal is unblemished at the start of Yom Tov, therefore it's a Bechar Behema. Even if it develops a mum over the course of Yom Tov, L'maisa, again, it's still not permitted for use because we've already established that the identity of items, both animals and objects, is locked in at Bein HaShmashos. So we'll say, remember, what the Gemara is trying to suggest over here is we're trying to figure out why the Lashon of Rabbi Yehuda's second case is not symmetrical with the first. What the Gemara now is suggesting is this was a Bechar Behema that was in the pit, unblemished. I pulled it out of the pit, even though I wasn't supposed to. Now once I pulled it out, it got blemished. And the Mishnah is telling me that I still may not eat it. To which the Gemara says, that's obvious. Of course you can't eat it. Just because it got blemished now doesn't change the fact that at the onset of Yom Tov it was unblemished. If it was unblemished at the onset of Yom Tov, it had Bechar Behema status. If it had Bechar Behema status, that Kedusha was locked in and precludes it from personal use. Ella, what's the case? Dinafal be'mum me'erev Yom Tov. Dinafal be'um over me'erev Yom Tov. Also, what's the case over here? The case over here is that what happened? There was a mum over on Erev Yom Tov. So listen to this. So let's say at the start of Yom Tov, it had what we call a mum over means a mum that will heal. A mum that will heal. Whatever it is. It gets a cut. So it splits its lip. So let's assume for a moment that the splitting of the lip is going to heal. So what happens? At the onset of Yom Tov, it has a mum over. The hashta havi le mum kavua. And I will say, what happens? Over the course of Yom Tov, it becomes clear that mum over, in fact, is not a mum over, but rather what? It's a mum kavua. It's not going to heal. Mao de teima. So you might have thought that because the mum was present at the beginning of Yom Tov, granted it was present in a different form. At the beginning of Yom Tov, it was present in the form of what? Of a mum over. Now it's morphed into that same mum has now morphed into a mum kavua. So I might have thought that my mind was pretty much on that animal from the beginning. Because I saw that mum over, maybe I had a havamina that maybe that mum over could morph into a mum kavua. And therefore, now that it does morph into a mum kavua, I should be able to use it on Yom Tov. Kamash malon, no. Kamash malon halach alamaisa, because the animal only had a mum over at the onset of Yom Tov, and a mum over does not allow Bechar Behema to be used for the Yisrael owner. Therefore, lemaisa, that animal was set aside for non-use, and therefore, even if that mum over develops into a mum kavua over the course of Yom Tov, you still may not use the animal. Tan Rabbanan, Bechar Tam, Shenaf
Alabar. Does that have to be the same mum?
Yeah, that's for sure. Right. The Havamina only works with the same mum. Bechor tam shenaf alaban. If you will say, if you have a bechor tam means a complete bechor behema, no unblemished, unblemished bechor falls into the bar. Rabbi Huda Hanosi Omer Yered Mumcha Vira. Rabbi Huda Hanosi says that a mumcha, an expert, has to go down into the pit and examine it. Im yesh po mum ya'ale v'yishchot. If the animal has a mum, you could go down and you could check. Excuse me, you could raise it up. You could raise it up on Yom Tov, and you could go ahead and shecht it. Bim lav, and if it does not have a mum kavua, lo yishchot, you may not shecht it. Amuvah Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya said, and I will say again, these are actually the same opinions listed in our Mishnah, just the Brice is a little bit more verbose. So Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya says, and again we're giving full names over here, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya says, Hare amru ein roin mumin b'yom tov. But that's not true, but we've already established that you may not examine blemishes on Yom Tov. And I will say, we saw this in Rashi in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Shimon's opinion is, because again, we don't want to look at mumin on Yom Tov because it has the appearance of tikkun, it has the appearance of fixing something, it falls under the general idea that we try not to render legal decisions on Yom Tov that are not necessarily immediately necessary for Yom Tov. So Rabbi Shimon says, we don't look at mumin on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, Hari Amra Inu Amumi Yom Tov. Ketzad, so what's the case? No lad bo mum me erev yom tov. I will say, if the animal developed the blemish on erev yom tov, ein mevakrin oso bi yom tov, then halacha lemaisa, we do not examine it on yom tov. Now I will say, this is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is explaining his position. If the mumin developed on erev yom tov, then we do not go ahead and examine it on yom tov itself, for the simple reason that since it was there on erev yom tov, you had the ability to examine on erev yom tov. If you fail to do so, you may not examine it on Yom Tov itself. However, nolad bo mum bi Yom Tov, on the base, if the mum developed on Yom Tov itself, Rabbi Shimon says, this animal is not considered to be prepared. We'll say, look at Rashi, for just a moment. Rashi is on both sides of this page. So look at the right-hand side, a right-hand column of Rashi. Ebri Yom Tov, ve'im nolad bo mum bi Yom Tov, bezuhay Rabbi Shimon Yochai Omer, Ein zemin amuchan. So most like the mum developed on Yom Tov, Rabbi Shimon said that this animal is not prepared. Va'afilu avar ubikra lo yishchot shehum kimetakno legamre. So most like Rabbi Shimon says like this: if the mum was there on erev Yom Tov and you failed to examine on erev Yom Tov, you certainly may not go ahead and examine it on Yom Tov. But even a step further, if the mum developed on Yom Tov itself, Rabbi Osai, so Rabbi Shimon says the animal pretty much is not prepared. What does it mean the animal is not prepared? In order for something to be usable for Yom Tov, it had to have been in a usable state at the onset of Yom Tov. That's what's called Muchan. Rabbi Shimon is not suggesting that you actually have to go over to every single thing you're going to use on every Yom Tov and say, I'm going to use this, I'm going to use this, I'm going to use this. And the Shaila just is it in a usable state? So an unblemished Bechar Behema at the onset of Yom Tov is what? Is not in a usable state for me, the Yisrael owner. Simply because it's an unblemished Bukhar Behema, it has kedusha, it has sanctity attached to it. That sanctity precludes me from using it. Therefore, says Rabbi Shimon, the fact that it develops a mum on Yom Tov is inconsequential. You can't do anything with that animal on Yom Tov because lemaisa, again, it's not muchan. And Rabbi Shimon also adds in over here, based on what we were saying before, even if you did examine the animal, you still can't shecht it. Why? Because the act of examining the animal and looking at the mum is kimetakno legamre, has the appearance of malacha, like you're fixing the animal. V'shavin, but both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon agree. Shimnola tu umumo imo shezemin amuchan. I will say it's very interesting. But both agree that what? That if the animal was born, so now let's say you have a bechor that is born on Yom Tov, Mazel Tov, right? Bechor is born on Yom Tov, and the animal is born with a mum that by definition removes it from its bechor status. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon agree that the animal is in fact usable by its Yisrael owner on Yom Tov. What's the pshat? Look at Rashi. V'shavin, aval b'zuha yumodim, cholkim shalifanin, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, that both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, who just argued in the case before, would both agree, shimnolad hayom umumo imo, that if the animal is born on Yom Tov, and it's born with its mum, shazamin amucham, that it's prepared for use. Why? She'in ba'zem yishum tikkun, because obviously there's no din of tikkun. Why is there no din of tikkun? Because you're not rendering a halachic decision per se, because again, it's clear that the animal is born with a mum. Umishum din shalo haysa bo cheskas isra mi'olam, so we're going to see something very interesting, that animal is considered to be muchan from the beginning. Why? And both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon will agree. So again, the two machlokes cases will be, first of all, Rabbi Yehuda allows for the examination of mumin on Yom Tov. That's number one. Rabbi Shimon does not. And the truth is, Rabbi Shimon, whether those mumin developed before Yom Tov, he didn't have a chance to look at it, can't do it on Yom Tov. And even if the mum developed on Yom Tov itself, Rabbi Shimon says it's not min hamuchan. But if the animal is born with the mumin, everyone agrees that l'maisa the animal may be eaten on Yom Tov itself. So the Gemara says, we don't know why that is. We're going to see that now. Darash Rabba Bar Rav Huna. So Rabba Bar Rav Huna expounded on this, and he said the following: Nola tu umumo imo. If the animal, this is the bechor animal, is born on Yom Tov, and it's born together with its mum, meaning it's born with a blemish, as opposed to generally the cases that we've been dealing with before, like the bechor behema shenafa labar. Those cases usually presuppose the animal was unblemished. Now it fell into the pit, and it's just quite possible as a result of falling into the pit, it's blemished. This is a case of where the bechor is born with this mum. So what happens? Mevakrin osev yom tov lechatchila. We could examine it lechatchila yom tov. Amrali Rav Nachman Abba Tani. Im avro ubikro mevukar. So Rav Nachman comes along and says, but one second, but we learned the lashon of the brisa was, if you violated, meaning you're not supposed to examine it, but if you violated it, so okay, the examination is good. Va'at amrit mevakrin osu lechatchila. So Rav Nachman is asking Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, because Rabbi Bar Rav Huna seems to be saying that when you have the case of nolad umumo imo, the bechor behemoth that's born blemished, you are permitted lechatchila to examine it. I mean, obviously you still need some kind of bikur. You need some kind of examination just to decisively rule that indeed this is a mum kavua and this qualifies the animal. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna makes something like even lechatchila. Rav Nachman says we only learned that works ex post facto. Lechatchila you can't do it, but if you did it, the examination is good. So the Gemara says Amar Abaye kavasa de Rabbi Bar Rav Huna mistabra. Abaye says it would appear that the halacha sides with Rabbi Bar Rav Huna. Why? What did Rabbi Bar Rav Huna say? Midiktani tlasa bavi. Because in reality there are three different cases. What are the three cases? Number one, nolad bo mum me'erev yom tov, ein mevakrin oso b'yom tov. I both say, if the Bechor developed the mum on erev yom tov, and for whatever reason you failed to examine it on erev yom tov, you may not examine it on yom tov itself. Ein mevakrin oso b'yom tov lechatchila. I should say differently. Ein mevakrin oso b'yom tov. You may not go and examine on yom tov. Lechatchila hu delo. So the Gemara infers that lechatchila you may not examine the animal. Hadi'eved shapir dummy. But yet, b'di'eved, if you did it, it would seem to work. Okay, that's case number one. Next, nolad bo mum b'yom tov. If the mum develops on yom tov itself, Rabbi Shimon Omer ein zemin amuchan. Rabbi Shimon says, I'm sorry, you can't use the animal because the animal was not prepared. So the Gemara says, da'afilu di'eved namilo. And this would seem to indicate that even b'di'eved, if you did the examination, it still would not work. V'hadertani, and then we learned, the shavin shim nolat umumo imo, that both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon agree that when the animal is born and it's born together with its mum, shezamin amucham, that this is considered to be prepared. And I will say again, it sounds like in this case of nolat umumo imo, that you could examine the animal even lechatchila on yom tov. The Gemara says, and they will say that would seem to side with the, that would support the position of Rabba Bar Rav Huna, who holds that when the animal is born with the mum, lechatchila, you are permitted to go ahead and examine the animal.
But in all of these cases, there must have been some level of bikur to establish that there was a mum to begin with.
No, you could see the mum. I see it. I see the animal's lip is split. So I don't need bikur for that. Not by mumcha. That's just externally observable. So the Gemara says, V'ha ki asra boshia, asa v'aisi masnisa biyade. But yet when Rav Oshia came along, he brought with him the following teaching. Whether the mum developed on the Bechor in Erev Yom Tov, or whether the mum developed on Yom Tov itself, Chachamim omrim ein ze min amuchan. The Chachamim say, I'm sorry, you cannot use this animal because it is not prepared. So the Gemara says, Ve'ela akashiach. So I will say, the Gemara is quoting this because remember, we're trying to figure out, we have machlokes na Rabba Bar Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. In the case of Nola tu umumo imo, the animal is born with the mum, can you lechatchila do the bikur? Rabbi Bar Rav Huna says yes. Rav Nachman seems to say lechatchila you may not. But the evidence works. But if you did it, it's fine. But lechatchila you can't. So the Gemara says, ve'ela kashiach. Aye, but what do you do with the following teaching? So the Gemara says, hahi adavar uchmi. Ve'ela kashiach. But what do you do with the previous price? I will say, it seems to contradict that which we just said. So the Gemara gives a very interesting answer. Hahi, that price, that teaching, adavar uchmihi. That's the teaching of adavar uchmi, dimishabe shvetani. And I will say, apparently, adavar uchmi had a reputation of not being very exact with his teachings and often conveying erroneous rulings. It's a terrible reputation, but okay, I guess at the end of the day, he's still in the Gemara. Better to be, he got in. So apparently the Gemara attributes the fact that the previous price that contradicts that we just said before to Adabar Uchmi, and unfortunately, it's not authoritative. The Tani, see the Mishai Shatani, excuse me, Amrav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Masnisin Nami Deka. Our Mishnah also supports this idea. Diktani, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol She'ein Mumo Nikar Me'erev Yom Tov, Ein Zemina Muchan. So what Rabbi Shimon said, any animal whose mum is not nikar, whose mum is not recognizable on Erev Yom Tov, is not muchan. My ein mumo nikar. What's the case of ein mumo nikar? Ilema she'ein mumo nikar klal. If you want to say that the mum is not recognizable at all, pshita, that's obvious. The Gemara says, Tzricha lemeimar. So we'll say, obviously, if the mum is not recognizable at all, so of course, again, the animal entered into Yom Tov as a regular Bechor Behema, which is sanctified, and of course, it's precluded from any type of other use. It's obvious. Ela delo is chazi l'chacha me'erev Yom Tov. Rather, what's the case? The case must be the mum was there. The mum was there, and you saw the mum, but you didn't have a chance to have the chacham take a look at it from Erev Yom Tov. Excuse me. Delo is chazi l'chacha me'erev Yom Tov. Im mum kavua. Im mum over. And the truth is, what ended up happening is the Chacham didn't have a chance to examine it to see, is it a mum kavua or is it a mum over? Katani mihas, but yet what do we see from here? Ein zemina muchan. We see from here what Rabbi Osai, that lamais at the end of the day, it's not considered to be prepared. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, ein zemina muchan. It's Rashi still on the right hand side of the page. It's about 20 lines from the bottom. Ein zemina muchan. Afilu diaver, umehashta al karchech b'shavin sheim nolot hu umumo imo shezem mina muchan bidi eved kamar. So Rabbi say it must be that lemaisa inzem mina muchan shmamina. That's what that Rabbi say at the end of the day. Rabbi Shimon's position is going to be that when the animal does not have an established mum at the onset of Yom Tov, lemaisa again, it's not muchan. It's just simply not prepared for any kind of Yom Tov use. When it's not prepared for any kind of, and the truth is, one can make the same argument by the case of Nola to Umimo Imo. Even when the Bechor was born on Yom Tov with its mum, Lemais, again, there's a certain element of Muchan that is lacking as well. When there's a certain element of Muchan that's lacking as well, Lemais, Rabbi Shimon would hold that the Chatchila, you're not supposed to examine the mum, even of the animal that's born with the mum. But the Eved, if you did it, it works. But the Chatchila, because it's lacking that little bit of Muchan, Muchan status, one should really the chatchila not examine it at all. Okay, so by my name. So we'll say the Gemara asked the following kasha. Now I'll just point out to you over here. Let me show you this quickly. We have a couple of minutes now. I want to show you just a halacha l'maisa on this piece over here. So how are you doing? If you hand out these papers, okay. Okay, thank you. So let me just show you the halacha l'maaseh, because it's interesting to see the next part. The next discussion is still part of the sugya, but it goes a little bit on a tangent. Actually, you know what? I'm sorry. Let's first do a little bit more Gemara. Hold on to it. Let's do 5 more minutes, and then we only have 5 more minutes. Okay, so we'll do 3 more minutes. So the Gemara says the following. Boy mina hilo. I'm sorry. I know, but I don't stop at 6:45. So the Gemara says, "Fine, boy, me hill me rava." So hill has fine kasha rava. Yesh muktzah lechatzi Shabbos, or in muktzah lechatzi Shabbos. Is there muktzah for half a Shabbos, or not muktzah for half a Shabbos? I'm also like, what does that mean? What the Gemara is really asking over here is fine. If you look at Rashi, yesh muktzah lechatzi Shabbos, mishum chatzi Shabbos, im chuktzah bechatziyav, mi having muktzah lekuli Shabbos. So we'll say, here's the interesting question. What the Gemara is really asking is, if the status of an object changes on Shabbos, Can you have muktzah for part of Shabbos or not? Or do we say that the identity of a particular item is locked in at the onset of Shabbos, and that identity remains even if what? Even if circumstances change. I will say this happens to be a fascinating shayla in general. So the Gemara says, and this is Hillel's asking this of Rava. So the Gemara says, hey Chidami, what's the case? Id achsi ben ashmashos achsi. If the object was usable ben ashmashos, then it's usable. If it's not fit, if it's not usable, it's not usable. What Mora is answering is that why he's starting up with this? We know the answer to this. The mukta status of any given object is determined by what, the Bosai? It's determined by its status of Hashmashos. If it was usable by Hashmashos, then Lamaisa again, it's usable. If it's not usable by Hashmashos, then it's not usable. To which the Gemara says, Lo tzricha da'achzi v'hader itchi v'hader achzi. Oh, what's the case of Bosai? Where you have an item that was fit, then it became unfit, and then it became fit again. So meaning you have an object that started Shabbos or started Yom Tov being permissible for use. Something happened then that rendered it unusable. Then it became usable again. So the shaila is that the fact that it has a period, that it had a period of unusability, render it unfit for the rest of Shabbos? Or do we say no? The fact that it began Shabbos in a fit state and then it transformed back into the fit state is enough to allow it to be usable. So my Amar Le Yesh Mukta. See, he responded. Rava responded, no. Halacha Lemaisa, if Shabbos, even though it started in a permitted state, if over the course of Shabbos it morphs into a prohibited state, Lemaisa, again, the object becomes Mukta. So the Gemara raises a kasha. So both say, just so you should know, the simple Rashi gives a simple example of this. If you had, let's say, for example, grogros, figs, dried figs. So let's say again, I had them on my roof. They were, and I was going to eat them. So they started out Yom Tov. They started out being fit for consumption. Then it rained, and when it rains, apparently they get filled with moisture and they're unfit. Then the sun came out, dried out the figs, and they were fit. So you have an object that was fit at the onset of Yom Tov for consumption, then became unfit, then became fit again. So the question is, what's the status of the figs? So Rava responds, Yesh Mukta. Rava responds, the figs would actually be unfit. You could not use the figs. Why? Because once they morphed into a period of where they were no longer suitable, then Lemaisa again, they cannot be used on Yom Tov. And when I say Yom Tov, I'll say this is Yom Tov Shabbos, same thing. So the Gemara says the following. Esvei. The Gemara raises the kasha. Esvei v'shavin she'im nolad umumo imo shezeh minamucham. So both sides very interesting. So the Gemara says, and they both agree, both Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon agree, that lemaisa, if the animal was born on Yom Tov and the mum was born along with the yom, with the animal, shezeh minamucham, that the animal is prepared for use. V'amai, why is that? Neima hay b'char me'ikara. So both sides, listen to this. So this is the case of b'char behema shenolad im mumo. So remember, everybody was agreeing in that case, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, that the animal is fit for use. The Gemara says, why? Va'amai neima hay b'char meikara havachazi agav ime. Both say, listen to this. Why is that? Why is the animal fit? When the animal was in its mother's womb, so the halacha is that the animal was permitted through its mother. Right? If you shecht an animal and there's a baby inside that animal, that baby becomes permitted as part of the animal as well. So at the onset of Yom Tov, Lemaisa again, the animal in utero was permitted. And remember, an animal in utero doesn't have Kedushas Bechor. Kedushas Bechor is only when the animal is born. So at the onset of Yom Tov, when the animal was still in utero, the animal was permitted for consumption. Is Yalidle, the moment that the animal is born, Idchile, the animal is not fit. Why is the animal not fit? Rabbi Osai, Bechor Behema. Then the Chacham looks at it and it has a mum. It's a mum kavua. Ishtarile. Then it becomes permitted. So I will say, what is this a case of? This is a case of Chazi, Idchi, Chazi. It started out Yom Tov being permitted. Then on Yom Tov it was prohibited. And then on Yom Tov it became permitted again. And yet what? And yet what's the ruling on that case? Everyone agrees that Bechor Shenolad Immumo is what? Is mutter. So this contradicts what Rava just said before. Rava said that Yesh Mukta L'Chatzi Shabbos, that there's the concept that even if an object started out in a permitted state, but then became prohibited, and then became permitted again, the object is still prohibited. But yet the case of Bechor Shenolad Mumo Imo, that everyone agrees is permitted, indicates to us that what? That even if something began Yom Tov permitted, then became prohibited, as long as it became permitted again, as long as it began in a state of permittedness and ended in a state of permittedness, even if it had a period of prohibition, it would still be okay. Rabbi, the team of Safra, no. What's the case of Bechor, Shanola, Mumo, Imo? Listen to this. Kigon Diyasvi Dayani Hassan. The judges were sitting right there, meaning the Chacham were sitting right there as the animal was giving birth. So Mamish, they saw the animal giving birth, which means what Rabbi Osai? That the moment the Bechor came into this world, they rendered it unfit, meaning they rendered it that it's not a Bechar. So we'll say, what does that mean? Really what the Gemara is answering is, there was no period of time where it was Idchi. There was no period of time where this animal was not fit for use on Yom Tov, because the moment it came into this world, again, the Chachamim were sitting right there and already rendered it blemished. Ika, the Amri, others say, Amrle im mukta lechatzi Shabbos. Others say that he ruled there's no mukta for chatzi Shabbos. Let's bring a proof to this. So we'll say this is just a different version of the previous discussion. In this version, Hillel is asking also the question of Rava. And in this version, Rava's paskening that no, there's no such thing as mukta for chatzi Shabbos. If the object began in a state of permissiveness, then became prohibited, then became permitted again, Lemaisa, that object is fine for use. What's the proof? Le'yom esayele, v'shavin. Both Rabbi Zerba Shimon agree, shenolot umumo imov, that if the animal was born together with its mum, shezemin amuchan, that the animal was prepared for use on Shabbos, or on Yom Tov, I should say. V'ha b'char me'ikara, ha b'chazi agavime. But the Gemara says, how could that be? Why should the case of Nolot Umuma Ima be permitted? After all, at the onset of Yom Tov, the animal was permitted in Yoro because of its mother. When it was born, it was then set aside for 9 years because of its Bechor status. And then what happened? Ach Ziyeh L'Chacham, the Chacham sought, Ishtrile, becomes permitted again. So Amar Abaye, so meaning what the Gemara is asking over here, is that not a case of where of permitted, prohibited, permitted? Amar Abaye, V'Tim Rav Safra, Kigom Diyasve Dayani Hasam. What's the case of Osai? The case over there, the mice, is where the judges were sitting right there. The judges were sitting right there, and therefore again saw the animal as it came out. And therefore again, it was never a period in time in which Lamais saw again the animal was prohibited because of Kiddushas Bechar. Just we have 1 minute. Let me just show you the Shulchan Aruch quickly. We'll stop over here for today by the Tashma. But take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. So this is in page 1. It says the Shulchan Aruch, this is in Tav Tzadik Ches, Siftes, Bechor Bizman Hazeh. So when you have a Bechor Bizman Hazeh, so also remember, I mentioned at the beginning of this year how we deal with Kedushas Bechor today. You'll speak to anyone who was here, they'll tell you. Bechor Bizman Hazeh, She'eno Yochol L'Shachto, below Mum. So also remember, there's still a concept of Bechor Behema today. So you can't shech the Bechor Behema without a mum. So in Chacham Yochol Lir'osa B'yomtavim Yishbo Mum. So we paskin, that we, like Rabbi Shimon, that we do not examine Mumin on Shabbos, or excuse me, on Yom Tov. Why not? Look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat Nun, Ein Chacham Yachol. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Bein Shumam B'Yom Tov, Bein Shumam Erev Yom Tov. Whether the Mum developed on Yom Tov or on Erev Yom Tov, Mishum Demechse Kimetakein, the Asr Yom Tov. Because Rabosai, the action of examining an animal for blemishes has the appearance of trying affixing something on Yom Tov. Below Dami the Shar Ho Ra'a, She'ein Ha'isra V'Heter Tali Baraz P'yamora, Ele B'yediyas Ha'davar, Ma She'ein Kein B'Bechar Afili Yeshva Mum Gomer, This is very interesting. This is different than other halachic rulings. Why? Because let's say somebody comes along and asks the Rav about the shechta of the chicken. They have a shayla on the chicken. You could ask that shayla, and the Rav could rule on the chicken. Why? Because what is the Rav essentially doing? What is Rav doing? He's giving a piece of information. The status of the chicken is the status of the chicken. Just the person doesn't know the halacha. The Rav knows the halacha. When it comes to mumin of a bechar, it is the psak halacha of the chacham that creates the reality. It changes the status. So because the psak of the chacham changes the status, that you can't do on Yom Tov because that's nirakim attacking. It has the appearance as if you're fixing something. Back up to the Shulchan Aruch. Va'afilu im avavara'u. Let's say the chacham violated. And the chacham did look at the mum. Page 2. Umatza sheyesh bo mum. And then you saw that lemaisa, again, it does have a mum. Eino yachol l'shachto. You still may not shecht it on Yom Tov. Aval, so we'll say, so that's for part number 1. We don't look at mumin on Yom Tov, and even if you looked at it and it does have a mum, you still can't shecht it on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, Aval, im nolad b'mumo v'avara'o. Oh, but what about nolad umumo imo? What about halach l'maisa, the animal was born and the mum was born with it? Nishchat al piv. Then halach l'maisa, we'll say, in that case, what? You are permitted to go ahead and shech the animal. Why? On Yom Tov. Look at the Mishnah Berurah Nun Gimel. Aval nolad b'mumo haynu shenolad b'Yom Tov. The animal is mamish born on Yom Tov. Umum imo leka kan mishum mukta. There's no mukta. Why no mukta? The Rebbe says exactly what we just said before. Shari bin Hashma shows how you have lad leechol agav imo. This is amazing because what happens? The animal was always permitted. Why? Because at the onset of Yom Tov, when it was still in utero, it was permitted, why? Through its mother. Through its mother. Leka kan, excuse me, mishum imo, em hayashokta, ulahachi af kishenolat itchi, shari ne'esar kol zman shlo etiru chacham, miko makom kishenim te chacham ve'etiru, ein le'esar mishum mukta, shahari ben ashmashos lo hayo mukta. So what's this there for the Gemara says, excuse me, the Mishnah Berurah says, so if it was nolat ubumo imo, it's mutter. Why? So the Mishnah Berurah makes a much simpler argument. Essentially, the animal was permitted ben hashmashos. Because it was permitted ben hashmashos, because it was permitted through its mother ben hashmashos, therefore, when now it's found to be blemished on Yom Tov itself, it is permitted as well. Therefore, as long you still need the Chacham to rule that it is blemished bochar behema, and therefore, lemais, so again, you'd be permitted to actually shecht it on Yom Tov itself. Vim ro'o amum me'erev Yom Tov, however, again, if you saw the mum on Erev Yom Tov and you saw that it is a mum for which you could shecht, so this is very interesting. If already, again, on Erev Yom Tov, you saw the mum, and you saw that this is the type of mum for which is a mum kavua, but you didn't get a chance to go in and finish the whole conversation. The Chacham didn't get a chance to rule decisively. So you could finish up that psak on Yom Tov itself. So essentially, we have three cases. If the mum was not examined at all, whether the mum developed in it before Yom Tov, you cannot look at mumin on Yom Tov, and we will not shecht that animal, even if you looked at that mum on Yom Tov. Case number two, let's go out of order. Case number two, you saw the mum on Erev Yom Tov, you realize that pretty much it's a mum kavua, but you just didn't get a chance to rule decisively, then you could rule decisively on Yom Tov, shecht on Yom Tov. Case number three, nolad umumo imo on Yom Tov is permitted, since essentially Ben HaShemoshel said it was permitted via its mother, because of its mother. Therefore, again, when it's born with its mum, it's permitted for consumption, shechita and consumption on Yom Tov. Very quickly, last page, number three. As I'll show you this quickly, then we'll stop. Gimel, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Bein Be'isra Achila, Bein Be'isra Tiltul, Kol Dover Shayroi Ben Hashmashos, Im Eira Bo Dover Shiniskalkel Bo Bayom, V'chazer V'niskan Bo Bayom, Chazer Lehetero, Aval Dover Shukta Ben Hashmashos, Asra Kalmarosa, listen to this, Halach Lamaisa, how do we paskin? There's a mukta lechatzi Shabbos. We paskin a mukta lechatzi Shabbos. So if an item started Yom Tov or Shabbos permitted, then became prohibited, but then became permitted again, it is permitted for use on Shabbos and Yom Tov. However, the reverse is not true. If an object was aser ben hashmoshos, that iser status remains the entire Shabbos or the entire Yom Tov. All right, then we'll send it.
So someone cannot permanently injure the animal to a human.